I'm first going to share with you, you know, I'm doing a sermon series called New Takes on Old Verses. And many of you are the folks who have suggested the verses that maybe we look at, as well as folks online. Today, I'm going to be reading one of those verses. It's contained in this reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It says, "At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. And it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long do you plan on keeping us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered, 'I have told you, and you do not believe. My sheep hear my voice, and I.'" May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Doug, I'm going to ask you if you would, sir, please favor us with a song.
I'll go ahead and tell you real quick what I was telling Mark earlier. This first song was that I'm playing. The speaker, the narrator, is someone kind of putting themselves back together in all the ways that we put ourselves back together when we need to. And they're speaking, as I wrote it, I thought they were speaking to a loved one, a friend, something like that. And I was playing it at a group of songwriters. We like to get together and play our songs for each other. A few nights ago, and someone said, "You know what? That's a prayer." So, here we go. It's called "I Come to You." I come to the broken. I come to you in pain. I come to you wondering if I'll ever feel whole again. I come to you not knowing what's left for me to do. I come to you broken. I come to you. I come to you praying. You'll reach out your hand. I come to you hoping that you might understand. I come to you looking to chase away these blues. I come to you free. I come to you. To your healing, ready to move on. I come to you knowing there will be another song. I come come to you believing. In love that's true. I come to you healing. I come to you.
Thank you for that, Doug. Do I have my mic on? There you go. You know, we love bringing in local artists for our time together. Doug, that song there is a great example of why we do love having folks like him with us. So thank you, Doug, very much. Today, I will continue my sermon series on new takes on old verses. I will say this verse that was turned into me. My take on this going to, some of you are going to feel like, yep, I agree. And some of you are going to be like, that is not okay. And I'm just going to say, that's okay. This is a big question that far too few Christian churches are willing to tackle. The title of this message is, Did Jesus Believe He Was God? I am a believer. Mostly. I believe that there is probably a God, something bigger than us. And I have a very hard time, as I've said before, believing that there's not something larger than humanity. I mean, quite seriously, I just find it hard to believe that we are the best thing that the universe has to offer. That seems a bit egotistical to me, not to mention a bit unfortunate for the universe. And ultimately, I don't completely buy it. I also believe that there might not be a God, or at the very least, I frequently feel the absence of God. And I need to say here, that's perfectly okay. It doesn't suggest some kind of spiritual deficit. I mean, even King David felt the absence of God. It is all over the Psalms. Truthfully, I really don't feel bad at all about doubting. Even from a very biblical point of view, it is very normal. And that's why, as I've talked about in the past, I think of myself as an agnostic Christian. I believe there is a God. I also accept there might not be. Thus, one of my favorite Bible verses is, I believe. Help me in my disbelief. Now, that's part of the why when someone suggested John 10:30 as a verse for my series on new takes on verses that we struggle with, I was really happy to take the question on. John 10:30 is a favorite quote verse for folks who want to claim or to believe that Jesus understood himself to be God. And while there is a lot of interpretive wiggle room when it comes to sorting out exactly what it was that Jesus was saying in this verse, it is as close to a definitive statement on that subject as we will find from him. Even though, as I suggested, it's not particularly definitive. The verse says, the Father and I are one. Which, if it is meant to say, I am God, it is a very unusual thing to say immediately after talking about the works that he does in his Father's name. One statement clearly delineates a division between them, one him, and the other. And if what some people say is true, the other one says that they are the same. So one's delineating them and one's saying they're the same. When you think about it, saying that you are God is a really odd thing to say right after you say that you're doing something in God's name. In a wonderful little happy coincidence, while I was putting this message together, a group that many of you are probably familiar with, the Jesus Seminar, they posted a meme on Facebook that, well, honestly, sort of humorously illustrates this point with the help of the title of a Judy Blume book. The book is, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And the meme that the Jesus Seminar posted is one of the classic drawings of Jesus kneeling at a large stone to pray as he looks up into heaven, and the caption on it reads, Are you there, God? It's me, you. Our verse in question says, The Father and I are one. The way that I see it, there's quite a bit that could actually mean. I mean, I frequently feel like my wife and I are one of the same mind on several things. So much so that me saying something like, yeah, we're one on that, wouldn't be that much of a surprise. But equally, it wouldn't be indicative of me thinking that we are in some way the same person. You see, I suspect that is actually fairly close to what Jesus was trying to express here. Frankly, it's hard to say, really. I mean, he said it in Aramaic. Some 40-ish years later, it was written down in Greek. And then some 1,400 years later, someone for the first time translated it into English. And I'm thinking there, considering all that, there might have been something a little bit lost in translation. Particularly when you consider just a few verses later, a few chapters later, in John 14:28 specifically, the text had Jesus say, the Father is greater than I. Much like him saying, the works that I do in my Father's name, that doesn't sound like someone who thinks that he's the same as God. When I think about it and study about God, I think about and study about a God who is all at one time bigger than me and might not be. And that's the same God that I believe Jesus was trying to teach us about. Here's what I've come to believe in all that thinking and study. In calling God Father, at least for his times, Jesus tried to teach us and teach them about God's desire to care for and provide for us. And in saying that he and the Father were one, he was trying to teach us about how we all are one in this God thing that is larger than us. And in telling us that in loving other people, all other people, we are loving God. He was trying to teach us about the connectedness of all of us, being created in the image of God, created in the image of that which connects us, being created in the image of one another. I am a Christian because Jesus, for me, is the teacher who best helps me understand this God thing. When he worshiped that same God. He did not worship himself. Jesus never called himself God. Not even, as I've tried to briefly show, not even in that one quote verse that some people try to use to prove that he did. It's also interesting to consider that this one verse comes from the Gospel of John. And when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, you won't find Jesus saying that. You won't find him saying it at all. And sure, there are a few places where you can interpret what Jesus says to possibly suggest he's God, but It isn't stated outright. The books that follow, accredited to Paul, the books that were, in terms of the New Testament, the ones that were closestly written to Jesus' death itself, in those, we also don't have a recording of Jesus saying that he was God. You have to ask yourself something that important. Don't you think he might have mentioned it? And not only that, don't you think if he did mention it, it would have been important enough that somebody would have decided it was important enough to jot it down? I know I certainly think so. Of course, as we have been talking about, the Gospel of John does sort of, kind of, almost possibly have Jesus mentioning the whole being God thing. And the gospel itself actually sort of kind of infers it a few times. But don't you think the difference between that and the others is a bit striking? The first three gospels and all the books of Paul and are all written before the Gospel of John. All of them having nothing of Jesus saying he is God. And then John, after many, many years have passed, has Jesus sort of, kind of, almost possibly saying that he is God. Does anyone else think it sounds like a little dogma slipped in there in those in-between years? Actually, yes, they do. Most modern scholars agree that John has some new theological perspectives added into his account of the telling of the life of Jesus. In an NPR interview from a few years back, leading New Testament scholar Dr. Bart D. Ehrman puts it this way: "I think it's completely implausible that Matthew, Mark, and Luke would not mention that Jesus called himself God if that's what he was declaring about himself. That would be a rather important point to make. This is not an unusual view," he says, "among scholars. It's simply the view that the Gospel of John is providing a theological understanding of Jesus that is not what was historically accurate." Based on what I see in the biblical text and on scholars like Bart Ehrman, I have to believe that Jesus claiming he is God is probably a late addition and is probably not words that he actually spoke. The reality is that even the early Christians who did call Jesus God, well, they meant several different things when they said it. As a matter of fact, Jesus wasn't even the first human that other humans named as a god. See, during those times, the Greek and Roman influences led people to believe that indeed gods do become human, but only temporarily, and that humans do become gods, typically permanently, but only after they've served a role in life that leads to being adopted into the divine realm. Again, Bart Ehrman helps put this in a historical perspective. He says, right at the same time that Christians were calling Jesus God is exactly when Romans started calling their emperors God. So, he says, these Christians were not doing this in a vacuum. They were actually doing it in a context. I don't think, he says, this could be an accident, that this is a point at which the emperors are being called God. So by calling Jesus God, in fact, it was a competition between your God, the emperor, and our God, Jesus. given all that, everything we talked about today, it seems to me, that this is the actual scenario. Jesus was born human. He went through and experienced life as a human. And in the course of that time, he was understood to have done miraculous things and to have insights about God that even the greatest rabbis had not considered. Then, much like the people did back then, with some kings, upon his death, they began to deify him. The first three Gospels were most likely written in the early stages of this deification of Jesus, and because of it, they contain very little to indicate any sense of Jesus believing he was God. The book of John, however, was written somewhat later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And because of that, the more fully bestowed deification of Jesus was written more into John. That leaves me with the conclusion that Jesus was not God, nor did he believe himself to be. And frankly, for me, Jesus not being God is a good thing. Actually, a very, very good thing. If what we hope to get from Jesus is an understanding of how to navigate a healthy spiritual life and develop a closer relationship and understanding of this thing that we call God through it, it is much more helpful to see a person who is actually a person doing it rather than a God doing it. I'd go as far as saying it's actually downright hopeful. Do I believe that Jesus had a unique relationship with God? You know, it is hard for me to read the Gospels and think anything other than that. Anything other than that. But I don't need him to be God to believe in that. But the question is, did Jesus believe that he was God? And I have to say unequivocally, absolutely not. And Siri wants to tell me what she's found on that.
I'm not sure I understand.
I'm not sure most of us do, Siri. I have to say absolutely not. And you know what? No matter what Siri says, that's a good thing. Doug, I don't know if you have a song about Siri, but I'd love to hear what you have planned for next.
Actually, I was enjoying during the World Series, not during the World Series, but during the playoffs. Was it the Rays? No, it was the Astros. There was a player whose last name was Siri, S-I-R-I, and you know, Joe Buck, wherever the answer would go, "Way to go, Siri!" And everybody's phone was, including mine, watching it. Would go, "Thank you." This song. I was going to mark this also before we started. It's about 30 hours old. So,
fresh off the vine.
Yeah, so, if the melody goes, off the rails or something, forgive me. It's one of those, it's not the destination, it's the journey kind of thing. It's called "This Road I'm On," I think. In my dream last night, I was talking to my son, a much younger version of a man he's going to be. He said, Dad, I'm just not sure. Or what direction I should travel. I said, Son, the answer's simple. Just don't do the same as me. I said, Son, always do what makes you happy. I said, Son, face your obstacles head on. When someone gives advice, you better think it over twice. And make sure you love this road you're on. He said, Dad, there's something else. I've come across this girl who brightens my whole world, but I'm scared what I might do. I said, Son, your big ass, knowing all my failures, I guess they told me something, so I'll pass this on to you. So, son, you both do what makes you happy. When problems arise, make sure you both face them head on. There it is. If you're happy, as you say, just don't let her get away. And you both love this road you're on. And when I finally woke up, I knew that was what he did. He went from a great kid to a man I'm proud to know. I just had to laugh. Thinking about my past, hindsight being 2020, there's no other way I go. Because I try to do what makes me happy, and I try to face my obstacles head on. And when I get advice, I always think about it twice. And I sure love this road I'm on. And I sure love this road I'm on. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. Very fresh song, and I love your perspective as well. Much appreciated. Quick reminder to those who are online, we do ask if you would leave us notes about where you're watching from in the comment section, but also if you have thoughts about our talk. We'll be taking a little time after the service, after the broadcast, and having a little discussion ourselves, so we encourage you to do that online as well. We now enter into a more inward turn moment in our time here together, where I will ask you to receive this as a prayer, or as an opportunity for meditation, or to just allow the words to come to you and grab hold of the ones that you're in need of at the moment. So let's bow our heads together. We've been conditioned to look at the world through an either-or division. Either you're with us, or either you're right, or either you're straight, or our oversimplification of the immense complexity of creation has left us with divisions that are not real. They're not a reflection of the realities woven into creation. We've made our own creation less complex, less sophisticated, less inclusive. Our false either-or compartmentalization creates in us these divisions. Divisions based on the faulty premise that creation is simple, that creation always has easy answers. Divisions that deny the value of rich, divisions that deny the value of a rich and immense complexity in creation. May we see that life is complex. May we see that it is rare for life to be so either or. May we learn to value and celebrate the complexity and the differences it creates. And may this insight pull us back together. Break down these human-made walls of the and make us whole. Amen.